at Church Unlimited. How's everybody doing today? You guys doing all right? Love that. Thank you guys so much for being here today. First, I just want to welcome you guys being here today, but also can we welcome all of our campuses right now around the Coastal Bend as well as San Antonio and Stono? Also, can we welcome our prison ministry? Gentlemen, thank you so much for watching us today, as well as our online community. Well, hey, my name is Pastor Paul. I am your ministry operations pastor. And listen, I can't go much further right now without thanking the lead pastor of the house, Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica. We love you so much. Thank you for your leadership, your grace, and how you lead us. Man, you guys are incredible, and we're so thankful again for everybody being here today. Well, listen, also, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the seriousness of what happened this past week here in the state of Texas. Central Texas, we're hearing about the devastation, the hurt, the misplaced families, the loss. It affects some of you in this room right now. You know some of these people personally. Also, on our San Antonio Stone Oak campus, they're your neighbors. And listen, as Texans, we are a proud people, are we not? That pride comes from the sense of family and community, and more importantly, that we can go to an all-knowing God. God is good. God is faithful. And I believe he wants to bring healing and restoration, and although we may not see it right now. So in our pride for who we are, can we just take a moment and humble ourselves before this great God and ask him to move and bring restoration, that we would hear more stories and miracles of people being found and recovered. Let's do that together as a church. Father God, we humbly come before you right now. We'd ask that your hand, and more importantly, your heart would be moved to love on these families, to love on our neighbors, to love on this community, to love on the people of our state right now, Father. You are the hope that we have. You can bring healing. You can bring people together, Father. And Father, I'm sorry that it takes moments like this for us to come to you. We shouldn't just pray to you today. We should pray to you every day. We should love on our loved ones, not just today, but we should hold them tighter and look at them differently because we still have them with us today. God, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but we're guaranteed forever with you. Thank you for bringing us that hope and that promise through the person of Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Again, thank you so much for being here today. We're kicking off a brand new series called Yes and Amen. And today's lineup is going to be a little bit different. We've got some incredible communicators that are going to be bringing you a word today, a word of encouragement. They're our next generation leaders here in our church. And in a few moments, you're going to meet all of them. But first, I want to introduce them to you real quick. We're going to do it a little bit in the out of order that the way they're speaking. The last person you're going to hear from is Pastor Dupree Wells, and he is going to be speaking today and bring you an incredible word. But Pastor Dupree is our middle school pastor here at our broadcast campus. But listen, a little known secret about him is that Dupree was born and raised in Texas, and then he left us for New York. Oh, God, okay. But now we know he's back home here at Church Unlimited in the great state of Texas. We're glad to have him here. He's a great father. He's a great leader. And then also we're going to hear from our kids ministry leader, Miss Tanya Molina. If you know her, you love her. She's an incredible mom. A little known fact about her is that she was a teacher at Flower Bluff ISD for a number of years, as well as London ISD. And I can't wait for you to hear her heart and her passion today. And last but not least, you're also going to be hearing from our student leader, Pastor Joe Henderson. He's a familiar face. We've seen him around this place for a little while. He's been on staff for about 8 years. He's a great dad. He's a great communicator. And a little known fact about him, man, he's a baller. Man, he'll take you out on the court. Matter of fact, Pastor Joe, come on out here real quick. This guy can ball out all day, every day. He even does it in Crocs and socks and takes people to school. I'm telling you, man. Hey, give it up for Pastor Joe. We're excited to hear from you right now.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. All right. Well, good morning, church. How are we feeling this morning? Awesome, awesome. Hey, I'm excited because today we get to open up God's word together. And any time that we open up God's word, he is trying to teach us something. And when he's teaching us something, that is giving us access to what Jesus calls life and life abundantly. We can have an abundant life through Christ and through obedience to him. We're starting a new series today called Yes and Amen. And one of the things that we know is that all the promises of God are met with a yes whenever we walk in obedience to him. So we lift up an amen to give him honor and glory. Church, can we lift up an amen or a shout today to give God some honor and glory as we get started? Well, I have been the youth pastor here for about 8 years. I love what I get to do. It's a ton of fun. I've got so many great relationships because of what I get to do here. And one of the things I love about my job is that my family gets to be so involved. It's great. My wife is involved. My two kids, I have a 5-year-old named Gideon and a 1-year-old named Zion. I like to say that they have more friends in high school than friends that are their own age. That's how involved they are. They love being here. And my son Gideon, he loves it the most because he's my party animal. That guy, he's a wild kid, never met a stranger. He's awesome. And he loves every year when we go to camp, we get to go to camp and have a ton of fun, and God moves in incredible ways. But one of the things that I always ask him, what was your favorite part of camp this year? And he always says that one of his favorite parts was rec circle. And the reason he loves rec circle is because it's right before we go out and do our rec activities for the day. We party, we play loud music, we get all the students dancing around, we wear costumes and silly outfits, shoot each other with water guns, all kind of stuff. And Gideon this year was so excited for high school camp whenever we got there because he had his Spider-Man mask and his Spider-Man water gun that he was ready to shoot at everyone. But he got so excited before we got there that he shot all the water out of it before we even got there. So what happened is we get there and he's ready to have a great time. He's ready to shoot the water gun and it's empty. So he started to get sad. Well, one of our interns recognized that, Devin, and Devin picked him up and put him on his shoulders and got right in the middle of the dance circle and started jumping around with everybody. And Gideon was happy for about 30 seconds, and then he got sad again. So what happened is Big Rob, shout out Big Rob over there at Rockport, Big Rob saw that and he had an idea. He was like, okay, we've got Devin, we've got Gideon, I'm going to put Devin on my shoulders, and now we've got the Youth Unlimited triple decker happening here. And Gideon had a blast. It was awesome. Here's the thing, church. Gideon was sad. He was going through a hard time. He was going through a trial, right? But he had his brothers there to lift him up and to pick him up. And it's the same thing for us. Let's read this in James 1, 2 through 4. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Here's what this verse tells me. It tells me that faith is built through trials. Faith is built through trials. Guys, we're not ChatGPT. We do not get saved and then all of a sudden all Christian knowledge and understanding and experience just downloaded directly into our minds. No, no, no. We have this moment called salvation where you give your life to Jesus, you get saved, you're born again, and then you're transformed into a new creation, like it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that's salvation. Then you have this moment called glorification where at the end of your life, you die and you get to go be with your creator and your savior in perfection for eternity. But in the middle of all of that is this long stretch of time called sanctification where each and every one of us is called to become more like Christ. We are called to strengthen our walk and deepen our faith in God. Here's one thing that I can promise you though. Every single one of us is going to go through trials. We're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through difficulties. We're going to go through hurts, abandonment, betrayal. The world will put you through hard things. The world will chew you up and spit you out. And God will allow you to go through these things so that they can strengthen your faith. Now, I know I've been talking about abundant life and the joys and the great things about God and how we can have all these promises, but then I start talking about trials and it's like, this doesn't sound like abundant life. This doesn't sound like the peace that God has promised for us. This sounds like struggle and hardship. Guys, here's the truth. Peace is not the absence of trials in your life. Peace is the presence of God in your trials. When you have God's presence in your trials, when we walk through trials with God, in obedience, honoring him, staying close in our relationship with him, our faith is built up and we become more like Jesus. Guys, we are called to walk through trials with God, but also called to walk through them with his people. Because here's what I know. Faith is built in trials, and trials are best conducted in community. Trials are best conducted in community. So many of us, we think to ourselves, we're like, hey, I'm strong. I got this. I can do this life on my own. I've got it figured out. Or maybe for you, you think to yourself, well, I've been going on my own this whole time. Like, nobody's ever been there for me, so why do I need people now? But the Bible would tell us the opposite. It says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together like some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. We all need people in our lives to encourage us. A couple weeks ago, I had some students that were supposed to come over to my house. And right before they were supposed to get there, they texted me and they said, hey, Pastor Joe, we're not gonna be able to make it over there today. We actually need something from you. And I was like, okay, like, what do you guys need? And they said, well, our mom, she's actually really sick right now. And we need you to pray for her. See, what had happened to their mom was she had this diagnosis that where essentially her throat, her neck was swelling up so much that it was closing off her airway, and she was having a hard time responding to the medication that they were giving her. So it got to this point where they literally didn't know what was going to happen to their mom. Was she going to make it or was she not going to make it? So they texted me and they were like, hey, we need you to pray for her. So I said, okay, I'll pray for her. And I did. But then in that moment, I jumped into youth pastor mode because I can't sit still. I got to go do something about it. So I loaded up my kids and my wife, and we got in the van, and we drove over to the hospital. And what I expected was for us to show up there, and I expected to be there with their family and to sit with their family and talk with them and pray over them and have this moment with their family. But what I didn't realize was that the dad in the family, who's a great dad, an incredible man, he was traveling for business. So he couldn't be there. He was 9 hours away. And I also didn't realize that the two other sons in the family, that they weren't able to be there immediately either. It was going to take them a couple hours to get there. So whenever I showed up and there was one boy there, 17 years old, just graduated high school, sitting in a room alone with his mom, not knowing what was going to happen. And you might have thought that when I showed up, what happened would have been that this kid was freaking out. He was losing his mind over the situation that he had no control over. He didn't know what he was going to do. But when I walked in, what I was met with was a student that was calm, a student that had peace. And here's why I believe that he was calm and had peace, because I've known this student for a while. And he has gone through great times and joyous moments. He's gone through setbacks and difficulties. But every single time that he's gone through these things, he hasn't done it alone. He's done it with other people around him to be there for him, to encourage him, to uplift him. He hasn't gone through these trials by himself. He's done it with his godly church community alongside him. I'm not saying that the student didn't have fears. I'm not saying that he wasn't worried about what was going to happen to his mom. But this young man had the opportunity where he could have been angry with God. He could have distanced himself from God. He could have said, God, how could you do this to me? But instead he said, God, I need you. Instead he said, God, I need your people in my life. And what happened is after that, we prayed for him and we left. And I've had the privilege of talking with that family since then. I've talked with the mom as she's making her recovery. I've talked with the dad. I've talked with those young men. And what I'm figured out is that because they were able to battle through this trial with community and godly people around them, their faith has been strengthened. They are ready to go through the next battle, all because they were willing to do battle their trials in godly community. Church, this faith can be yours as well. This abundant life can be yours as well, but it will require you to battle through trials with God and with God's people around you. This church is not meant to be just within the four walls of this building. Actually, this church isn't a building. This church is a people, and we've got to decide whether or not we're going to take the relationships that we form here and take them outside of here, because we all need people that are there for us whenever we're going through our best moments or our lowest moments. Do you have people who can be there to celebrate with you, to encourage you, to walk with you? Do you have those people in your life? The church is here to provide that for you, but it's up to you to go and get it. Because we can have the best life groups in the world, but if nobody will join them, then they can't help anyone. We can have the greatest youth ministry in the world, but if you don't attend it, then it can't change your life. We can have the greatest serving opportunities in the world for you to go and do God's work, but if you never join the team, then God can't change your life with it. We have to make a decision of whether or not we are going to go and find godly community. Students, are you going to join that youth group? Young adults, are you going to attend Devo? Singles, are you going to go and serve so that you can find godly community to be around? Moms, are you going to join that mom's group? Dads, this one's really important to me. Because statistics would tell us that when a father gets serious about his faith, there's a 93% chance that the family will follow. Dads, are you going to lead your family into godly community? Am I going to lead my family into godly community? Church, the promises of God are yes and amen. The abundant life of Jesus is readily available to us, and that begins with a deep relationship with God and his people. Are you going to choose godly community today?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joe. What an incredible challenge to find that godly community. Well, my name is Tanya Molina, and I have the honor and privilege of overseeing our Kids Unlimited ministries across our campuses. And a few weeks ago, a kid ministry volunteer shared a story, and I have not been able to shake it. She talked about a 9-year-old boy, a tough kid. I mean, tough exterior, always had a joke, never wanted to participate. You probably know someone like that. It was probably you as a kid, right? And every Sunday, that volunteer would do the same thing. She would call him by name, kneel in front of him, look him in the eyes, and say, "You matter to God, and you matter to me." And one Sunday, after they had just heard a lesson on how God never leaves, the rest of the kids went to go play, and that young boy hung back a little bit. And he quietly walked up to the volunteer and he said, "Is that really true? Does God really stay? Even if my dad doesn't?" Oh. That question, so raw, so human, reaches all of us, doesn't it? Because whether you're 9 or 90, you have probably asked the same question yourself. Does God really stay when others leave? When life is breaking? When I feel forgotten? And that volunteer did what she always did. She called him by name. She knelt in front of him. She looked him in the eyes and she said, "Yes, especially then." And right there in that room, full of broken crayons and half-eaten goldfish, that young boy began to cry. Not big, not loud, just enough to let you know that something was breaking open. That is what kid ministry is all about. It's not childcare. It's not entertainment. It's not babysitting. It is holy ground. And it's where our children get to discover that God's promises are for them. His promises are personal. His promises are powerful, and his promises are forever. And in a world that is shouting louder and earlier for our kids, trying to define who they are, we have something this world can never give. We have Jesus. And in Jesus, every promise is yes. And through us, through our faith, our presence, our obedience, his truth is being declared across every campus right now as we speak. You see, God's promises are for kids too. We sometimes think, "Oh, they'll get it when they're older. I'll explain it when I understand it." But Jesus never said, "Wait until the children are old enough." In fact, he says in Mark 10:14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Folks, right now, God is saying yes over your children's lives. Yes, they can hear his voice. Yes, they can experience his presence. And yes, they can be world changers for Christ, even at the age of 7. It's not just what we say, it's how we show up. Kids' ministry, it's not only sacred, it's eternal. Every high five, every worship song, every lesson learned and story shared, it's more than a moment. It's a seed of faith being planted in the life of our children. And that seed takes root and it begins to grow. Imagine what your life would have been like if somebody would have planted that seed of faith in you as a child. Maybe someone did. Maybe no one did. You see, I've seen what happens when no one is speaking God's truth over their lives, but the world is awfully loud. That's why this matters. Because when the world is speaking lies, we speak God's truth. When the world says, you're not enough, we say, you are loved, you are known, and you are chosen. And when a child says, can I really trust God? We say, God is faithful, and I'll walk with you until you believe it too. When we pour into the next generation, it restores something in us too. I think of my grandkids and how deeply I love them. Oh, they're so cute, right? And I think about how I would do anything so that they always know how loved and seen and safe they are in the arms of Jesus. And every chance I get, I speak the words of life over them. And every time I do, it's as if I hear Jesus saying, see, that's how I feel about you too. Sometimes the very words that we're speaking over our children are the promises of God that we need to be reminded of. Some of us never had that growing up. Some of us had to learn to be tough on our own. Some of us were told, be quiet, be strong, figure it out on your own. So when we pause to remind a child that God will never leave you, we feel the weight of those words. And when we remind a child that God is a good, good father, it touches something tender in us. That is the mercy of Jesus. He works in us as he works through us. He is restoring what was broken. He softens what was hardened. He fathers the places in us that still feel orphaned. And in loving his children, we are so deeply and eternally reminded of his love for us. But here's the truth, folks. This next generation is not going to accidentally stumble into faith. They must be led there intentionally. Families, pray with your children. Open up the Bible, read it together. Speak God's truth and promises over their life as they go and as they come. This is our moment, folks. This is our calling. We are standing at the crossroads of eternity with a chance to raise up warriors for Christ, because we will be the church that fights for the next generation. We will give them something more this world never could. We will lead them to Jesus, the only one who can truly heal, save, and transform. And when life gets hard, they'll remember his voice. And when culture gets louder, they'll remember his truth. And when the world tries to define them, they'll say, no thanks, Jesus already did.
Oh, come on, Church Unlimited, can we just give it up for Miss Tanya for bringing that credible word? Oh, come on, can we give it up for Jesus in the house today? Let's go. Well, man, I'm so excited. If I get a chance to meet you, my name is Dupree, and I'm the middle school pastor here at Youth Unlimited. And let me say that it's an honor and privilege to be in the house of God today. It's an honor to serve under incredible leaders like Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica. Come on, can we just give it up for our leaders real quick, our pastors? Well, like Pastor Joe said, we're in this sermon series, Yes and Amen. Now, my daughter, y'all, she's a little bougie. She likes to say, Amen. I'm like, where'd you learn that, girl? I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. This is Paul writing. Paul said this, for all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding, everyone shout yes. Come on, from all campuses, everyone shout yes. And through Christ are amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. We all love yes moments in our lives. I know I do. I love yes moments in my life. I love that the fact that my wife said yes to me 9 years ago. I love the fact that Pastor Bill and Miss Jessica said yes when they hired me on staff here at the greatest church in the world. I love the fact that Jesus said yes to us when he died on the cross. Yes. Moments in our lives. What about you? I know we all love yes moments in our life when God says yes to the job. Come on, are you hearing me today? Yes to the career. Yes to that business idea. Yes to the relationship. Come on, somebody. Yes moments in our lives. It feels good. Parents in this room where our kids respond with a yes, ma'am. And yes, sir. Come on, someone's praising God right now. Like, yes moments. But when they respond with a no, or you respond with a no or not right now, is a totally different response. How do you respond when God says no or not right now? How do you respond if you're still waiting on that miracle, you're still waiting on the blessing, and God says no or not right now? You see, the real faithful test is not just in the yes moments, it's also in the no moments in your lives. I remember me and my family, we went through a really difficult time and season, and my brother had a beautiful girl. Her name was Amari Grace Wells. She was full of grace. She was full of joy. She was full of laughter. And I remember me and my wife, we were living in Bentonville, Arkansas. And I'm pulling into the garage. I'm pulling into the driveway. I get a call from my brother, and I'm expecting this call to be a good phone call. Like, we're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about the Lakers. We're going to talk about the Cowboys, how we lose every single year. I'm expecting this to be a good call, but this was an unexpected call. My brother calls me and he said, Dupree, she's not breathing. My niece had this one condition, she had a heart condition. And when I heard that over the phone, I dropped everything and started to pray. Have you ever been there before where I'm talking about desperate prayers, where you're praying for your family, you're praying for your marriage, you're praying for this generation, you're praying for the leaders in office. I'm talking about desperate prayers, and we start declaring God's word, we start believing God's word, and a few moments later, I get a call back from my brother, and he said, Dupree, she's gone. In that moment, I was upset at God. I was angry. Our family was trying to wrap our head around, like, what just happened? It didn't feel like, God, you're saying this resounding yes. It felt like a painful and heartbreaking no. But I have to go back to his promises, y'all, because his promises are yes and amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 declares this. The Bible says, here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, for we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love him. I had to hold on to this promise. I had to cling to his promises because we serve a good God. What the enemy meant for evil, come on, God could turn it around. What the enemy meant bad for or evil for your children, God could turn it around. We serve a God that could redeem. Because a few weeks later, my brother moved in with me and my wife. We started just planting the seed of faith and hope in him. We started bringing him to church. My brother found Jesus at the church. My brother found salvation in the church. My brother found community in the church. My brother was baptized in water in the church of Jesus Christ. We serve a God that could redeem. Everyone shall redeem. The word redeem means to buy back, to restore what was lost. Let me remind you who our God is. We serve a God who redeemed the Israelites out of Egypt. We serve a God who saved the Hebrew Israelite boys. We serve a God who redeemed me and you. And let me say this, God is redeeming this generation right here and right now. I don't care what culture says about this generation. Because culture is saying no to this generation. No, they don't love Jesus. No, they don't want anything to do in this church. But what I'm seeing in this generation, we see a revival happening in our church. We see our students rising up. We have girls starting their own Bible club at their schools. We see students getting saved in the church every single week. God is moving. Where culture is saying no, God is saying, yes, I could use this generation. Amen. Let me show you a stat real quick. This is crazy. Over half of Gen Z say that they are open to learn more about Jesus. This year alone in our youth ministry, across all of our campuses, we have seen 374 salvations, y'all. At camp, we saw 58 salvations at camp, and at the last night of camp, we had 27 students that were baptized in water. So awesome. This is not just a number. This is a redemption story. Let me ask you this. What's your redemption story? What's your redemption story? Man, Pastor Pri, if you knew what I was going through right now, that my marriage right now is not looking too good, my business is not looking too good, my kids are losing their marbles, they're going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. If you just knew what I'm going through right now, God, I know that your promises are yes and amen, but it feels like a no or not right now. Maybe you're sitting in your no or not right now. Can I just encourage you? The Bible says this, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. So you could cling to the promises. You could cling to his word. Even though you might be in a not right now or a no season, you could still hold on to his promises because his promises are yes and amen. Redemption has a name, and his name is Jesus. The best yes you could ever say is saying yes to Jesus. You see, when sin came into this world, sin came into this world, death, anxiety, depression came into this world, death because of sin. Sin separates us from God. Throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we see people falling short, missing the mark, missing the standard, missing the glory of God. That's us. The Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Redemption has a name, and his name is Jesus. So when sin came in this world, it separated us from God. This is why Jesus sent his one and only son to die for us. That word redemption means to be bought back, to restore what was lost. What he bought us back with the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood. He restored us. He redeemed us. He saved us. And he forgave us. Go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads across all of our campuses right now. Maybe for you, say, Pastor Pri, I want to put Jesus Lord over my life. I want to make him first place in my life. I want him to save me. I want him to restore me. I want him to redeem me. The Bible says this, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God can save you. So if that's you today in this room, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't wait. Don't miss your moment. Today is your day. If If that's you, on the count of three, I'm asking you to go in and to slip up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Slip up. That's you today. Come on. Yeah, multiple hands going up in this room. Across all of our campuses. Come on, praise God. I see you in the back. I see you, sir, in the front. I see you, ma'am. I see you. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Praise God for that. Thank you, God. I see you back there, ma'am. So proud of you for making that decision today. You can keep your hands up across all of our campuses, and we're going to say this together as a church family. Let's say this together. Say, dear Jesus, thank you for saving me, for dying for me, and for loving me. I believe in you. I put my trust in you. I believe in a resurrection. I believe that you died and that you rose. Jesus, thank you for restoring me, for forgiving me, and for loving me. Today, I put you in first place in my life. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Come on, can we praise God for that? Come on, all over our campus, can we praise God? Thank you so much, Pastor.